بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, my name is Harun Saleh and I will be teaching علوم الحديث in the upcoming term using the book that our Sheikh and teacher Dr. Shari Al-Masri wrote for the sciences of hadith. And so in order to give people who do not have much of a background in the sciences of hadith, I will be going over the Mabadi' al-Ashara, or the 10 principles for ulum al-hadith. And the Mabadi' al-Ashara are principles that a beginner student in any science can use to help them conceptualize a science before getting into it, so that they do not make mistakes in mixing up one science with another. You want to know exactly what is ilm al-hadith from ilm al-fiqh from usul, because there are things that are called istilah, technical terminologies in each science, and you do not want to mix them up between one science and another. For example, the word sunnah means something to the scholars of usul and means something else to the scholars of fiqh, and can mean something totally different to the scholars of aqidah, and so on and so forth. And not just istilah, there are many other things that can mean something in one science and mean something different in another science. And so from the signs of somebody who has ilm is that they put things in their proper place, and that's something that we want to get right from the beginning. And so we will go over a poem that lists these Mabadi' al-Ashara. And so it goes, إِنَّ مَبَادِئْ كُلِّ فَنٍ عَشَرَةٌ الْحَدُّ وَالْمَوْضُوعُ ثُمَّ الثَّمَرَةُ وَنِسْبَةٌ وَفَضْلُهُ وَالْوَاضِعُ وَالِاسْمُ الْاِسْتِمْدَادُ حُكْمُ الشَّارِعُ مَسَائِلٌ وَالْبَعْضُ بِالْبَعْدِ اكْتَفَى وَمَنْ دَرَى الْجَمِيعَ حَازَ الشَّرَفَ. And the translation goes, verily the principles for every science are 10. The definition, the subject, and then its fruits. Its relationship to other sciences, its virtues, and the founder. The name, the sources, and the judgment of the lawgiver. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the issues, and then some satisfy themselves with part of it. However, the one who knows them all acquires honor. So we begin with al-had. And al-had linguistically means the end of something, or its limit, or its barrier. And what we mean here is the definition, the ta'rif. And the ulama, they seek for what is called definitions that are jama' mana', which translates to comprehensive yet definitive. We want to look for definitions for every science that gather everything that has to do with that science. However, block, there's a limit, so that something that has nothing to do with the science does not enter in. And so the definition that we have for ilm al-hadith is the knowledge of principles that allows one to know the state of a chain and its text in order to accept or reject it. So we're looking at two things. We're looking at what's called the isnad, the chain of narrators going back to whoever speaking. And then the metan, the text, which is the words or what's going on in the actual text, where the sanad ends. Now we come to al-mawdu', which is the topic or the subject focus. And when we look at ilm al-hadith, we divide it into two types. We have ilm al-hadith riwayatan wa ilm al-hadith dirayatan. As for ilm al-hadith riwayatan, this deals with the study of the sanad, the study of the chain itself, the chain of narrators connecting one to the sanad, to the matan. And then we have ilm al-hadith dirayatan, which is the study of the meanings of the text, the meaning of the matan, which is that which the sanad ends at. Right? So you have the sanad, and then you have whatever is going on in the matan, the statements or the actions or what have you. And so we understand that the main subject matter of ilm al-hadith is research into the chain and text in order to accept or reject hadiths. And then we come to al-thamara, the benefits, the fruits. What are we going to get out of this knowledge? Why do we want to bother ourselves with learning this? There's a few reasons, and I will only go over a couple. The first is ma'rifatu as-sahihu min as-saqim, which is to know the authentic, the strong from the weak narrations. Second is to protect the sunnah from antagonists, to protect the sunnah and the deen from the enemies of Islam and those people who want to come in and attack Islam. The enemies of Islam, they lost all hope in attacking the Quran. However, one thing that they try to do is go for the hadith corpus itself. And by studying this ilm, we're able to protect ourselves from the shubahat that come from these people. And that way we will not be affected. We'll have strong iman, yaqeen, that what comes to us from the Prophet ﷺ until now is authentic, and that we can trust it and we can use it as a source. Next, this ilm, it protects all of the other sharia sciences. Because all of the other sharia sciences are built off, out of many things, the hadith. And so if we protect the hadith, we protect all of the other ulum. And then next, it protects us from attributing to the Prophet ﷺ that which he did not say or do. And this is a very important matter. We do not want to mistakenly attribute something to the Prophet ﷺ mistakenly. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the mutawatir hadith, and mutawatir means that it is a hadith that is so far widespread, it's impossible for it to have been a lie. And we'll go over in the course more details of what the mutawatir is. And so the hadith goes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kadhaba alayya mutaammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu min an-nar." The translation goes, "Whoever lies upon me, let him prepare his seat in the fire." And this is a very grave matter. The Prophet ﷺ made it very clear not to make up forgeries against him. And so we do not want to be people who mistakenly carry these forgeries, as it is such a dangerous issue. Off that point, we have the famous scholar, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, who said, "Inna al-isnad min ad-din, walawla al-isnad laqala man sha'a ma sha'a." The isnad, the chain, which is the main subject, that one of the main subjects that we study in the science, it is the religion itself. And if it was not for the isnad, then whoever wants to say something about anything can say what they want. And so this isnad and this ilm, it protects us from these type of people who want to come in and talk from their passions, from their hawa, from their desires. Next we have nisbatun, the relationship of ilm al-hadith to other sciences. And so it is a part of the ulum al-shari'a, and it relates to all of the other sciences, fiqh, aqidah, tafsir, every other science you could think of the sharia, this relates to it. This science, to master and know this science, is a prerequisite to being a scholar. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, if somebody does not know the sahih from the saqim, and does not know al-nasikh wal-mansukh, then that person can never be called a scholar. And so, for somebody who wants to build themselves up and really understand this religion, this is a science that we need to get down, to understand, to learn it, and to really understand it holistically. Next we have fadluhu, its virtues. And there are many virtues, but we'll only go over a couple. This is one of the greatest and most honorable sciences from the Islamic sciences, because without it, the sunnah is not preserved. Without the sunnah being preserved, we do not have the ability to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam accurately. And we have in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, "If you love Allah, then follow me," meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. And so if we want to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in order to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need the hadith, we need the sunnah to be preserved. And that is the virtue, one of the many virtues of this ilm. Al-Imam al-Suyuti said, "خَصَّ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءِ الْإِسْنَادِ وَالْأَنصَابِ وَالْإِعْرَابِ." Imam al-Suyuti, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uniquely attributed three things to this ummah. He did not give it to any other nation. And the first of these three is the isnad, is the chain. This is something very unique to Islam. And without this isnad, we cannot authenticate and verify our deen. And this is what differentiates Islam from any other religion. Because everything that we have from the Quran and the Sunnah, we can establish, we can firmly say with certainty, with yaqeen, that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And no other religion can say such a thing for themselves. And next we go to al-wada, the founder, the pioneer, or the first to codify this knowledge. Now, before we get into this, it's important to note that just because somebody is the founder of a knowledge does not mean that they are the first ones to actually use it. What we mean here by founder is the first one to write about it, a full book, codify it as its own science. So for example, Usul al-Fiqh was codified by Imam al-Shafi'i. However, scholars before Imam al-Shafi'i were using Usul. However, it just happens that Imam al-Shafi'i is the first one to write a full book, comprehensive book, just about Usul. And likewise, we have the great Khorasani scholar and Qadi, Abu Muhammad al-Hassan al-Ramahurmizi, who passed away 360 Hijri. And he's the first person to write a book, complete book, dedicated to this science. And so we understand from this that he is the founder, he is the wada. Even though scholars before him spoke about this science and used the qawa'id of this science, the principles of this science. We have Imam al-Shafi'i in his Risala, who wrote extensively in his Risala about the ulum al-hadith. However, that book was a book of usul, not a book of hadith. Not a book of usul al-hadith. And so the ulama say, this is not the first book on usul al-hadith. It's the first book, it's a book on usul al-fiqh. And next we come to al-wada', the founder or the pioneer or the first to codify the science. And this is the great Khorasani scholar Al-Qadi Abu Muhammad Al-Hasan Ar-Ram Hurmuzi. He passed away in 360 Hijri, and he's the first to write a full, comprehensive, and complete book about this science. Now, it's important to note that just because he is the founder of this science, that does not mean he's the first person to speak about it. Just as Al-Imam al-Shafi'i is the first to write a full book about Usul al-Fiqh, he was not the first person to use Usul principles, as scholars who came before him were using it, and so did the Sahaba. However, he's the first one to write a complete book outlining the principles. And likewise, we have a Sheikh, Ar-Ram Hurmuzi, who is the first one to codify the science in a full book and to spin it off into its own science. Before him, Imam al-Shafi'i, he wrote in his Risala about the Qawa'id of Ilm al-Hadith. However, he did not write a full book on it. It was part of a greater Usul book. And so the scholars say this: he's not the Wada', right? He included it in his book on Usul. And many other scholars who came before al-Shafi'i even, they spoke and they used the principles of hadith, the ilm al-hadith, they used these principles in order to authenticate asanid, to transmit hadith. So it was something that was going on. However, this sheikh was the first one to codify it in a complete book by itself and to spin it off into its own science that can be later expanded upon. And then next we come to al-ism, the names. And there are many names for the science, but we'll suffice with a couple. The first one is ilm al-hadith. Then we have usul al-hadith, which is the foundations of hadith. Qawa'id al-hadith, principles of hadith. Ilm al-athar, the knowledge of narrations. And mustalah al-hadith, hadith nomenclature, or hadith terminologies. And then next we come to al-istimdad, the sources. And who is the source of this science? Who is the source of ilm al-hadith? The source is none other than Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, wa khayru khalqillah, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the source of this knowledge. And we have the source of this knowledge being the Quran and the Sunnah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many ayahs indicating us to use certain principles to verify hadiths, to verify certain things. And we take a lot of the principles from the Quran. We have many isharat, many things from the Quran pointing us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something we will go over in detail and in depth in the book, in order to establish that the Sunnah is something that is authoritative from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book. Next we have the Rijal, the narrators in the chains. They are the source. We need to know which Rijal are which. Which one is Thiqa, which one is good, which one is Munkar al-Hadith, which one we reject, right? Which ones are liars, which ones are fabricators. Maybe some of them have weak memories. Which ones are okay memories? These are all things that we need to know. And these are the sources. And then the muhaddithin, who do the work in order to verify these hadiths that they came to us in a sound way. And next we come to al-hukm, the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this knowledge. And so we have two things. We have two things that are called al-fard al-ayn wal-fard kifaya. Okay? We have the fard ayn, which is obligatory, something that is obligatory upon every single Muslim. And these are things like salah, tahara, zakah, hajj, if you're able to make hajj, to know the rulings of these things. Before you get married, to know the rulings of marriage and divorce, and so on and so forth. And then we have what's called fard kifaya, which is something that is an obligation on the community. And as long as certain people, there's an amount of people fulfilling this obligation, the whole community is okay. But if nobody's doing it, then the whole community is sinful. And so the hukm of ilm al-hadith is that it is a fard kifaya. It is a communal obligation. And lastly, we come to masail, the issues related to mustalah al-hadith. And there are so many. And there's so many that we will go over in this book as we study it. However, we'll go over a small amount. It is to know the sahih. What are the conditions of a sahih hadith? How do we know it's sahih? What is a hasan hadith? What makes it hasan as opposed to sahih, as opposed to da'if? What makes a hadith da'if? What makes it fabricated? How do we know it's fabricated? We have issues such as the illa, the hidden defects of hadiths. How do we know if there's a hidden defect? Who is to find a hidden defect? How does that work? The shadh hadith, the irregular hadiths. The tadlis, which is the masking of hadiths. What is that? We'll have a whole case study about this. Ilm al-rijal, the knowledge of the narrators themselves. And we'll go over another case study relating to ilm al-rijal. And much more. There's so many different topics. But the main issue is the authentication of the isnad. That is the most that is the thing that we're most concerned with. And now we come to masail, the issues related to the science. And there are many issues that have to do with ilm al-hadith, and there are so many to talk about. However, we'll go over a couple. The first is the sahih. What makes the hadith sahih? What are its conditions? What is a hasan hadith? What makes it hasan as opposed to sahih or da'if? What makes a hadith da'if? And what are the different types of da'if? There are so many different types of da'if. And then the fabricated hadith. How do we know it's fabricated? The alal of hadith, the hidden defects in hadith, and how all of that works. The shadh hadith, the irregular hadiths. We have tadlis, which is the masking of hadiths. Certain people would mask certain hadiths, and this is a big topic that we'll go over, and we'll have a whole case study on it. The ilm al-rijal, al-jarh wa ta'adil, which is the knowledge of the narrators and authenticating these narrators and how that entire process works. And there are so many more that we'll go over in this book. However, the main issue of the science is the authentication of the isnad. That is what we are most concerned with. And all of these, in some way or another, come back to the authentication of isnad so that we have with certainty that what came to us as the sunnah is still intact. And so I hope that you will join us in this term to study these different topics. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ